Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven." Those words, I think, frame this night as a kind of a night of contradiction. Because on this night, we put ashes on our forehead. Ashes that everyone can see. Jesus was warning us not to practice our piety before others. Not that we don't wear ashes, but that we don't do it primarily so we can be seen by them. For if we do that, then Jesus warns, we have our reward. Our reward is in being seen, in being thought by others to be pious. So in the midst of this seeming contradiction, Jesus is telling us that intentions matter, that our motivations are important. If we undertake acts of piety, if we put ashes on our head tonight, because we want others to see how holy we are, then it ends there. We have received our reward, the entirety of it. If instead, we put ashes on our forehead tonight as a sign of making a right beginning of a holy Lent, of deepening our relationship with God, with our neighbors, with ourselves, with the whole of creation, then our reward will be far more profound. In fact, it will be transformative, life-changing. What we do on this night is we use ashes. And ashes are an ancient symbol. They're found in Hebrew scripture. And they symbolize mourning for sins and grief and repentance. And it's that spirit that we come to this night. This is the night for us to honestly confess our sins, to mourn our sinfulness, to repent of what we have done. For tonight we acknowledge that we are not perfect, that we fall short of the glory of God, that we sin, we do things that alienate us from God and our neighbors, from ourselves, as well as creation. We turn our back on God's love. Our relationships can be damaged in this process. So this night we're invited to come before God with open and penitent hearts, confessing the ways that we have strayed since last Ash Wednesday. We're invited to honestly and humbly examine our lives, to be open with ourselves, open with God, to confess and repent, and then to accept God's loving forgiveness offered by God generously as God shows us mercy. For the reality is it brings great joy to God when one who has sinned confesses and repents. God rejoices when the one who is lost is found, when the one who was wandering returns. God's arms stand open wide to receive the penitent sinner, to welcome the one who repents, to return that one to the fullness of relationship that God desires to share with everyone. And so, trusting in God's mercy and loving forgiveness, we confess and repent this night. And we do that not so that we feel shame or unworthiness. We don't do it to punish ourselves. Rather, we do so to turn again, to return to the path of holiness that God calls us to walk in. And so the ashes are a symbol of our penitence and our desire to move into a restored and deepened relationship with God. In a sermon preached on Ash Wednesday in the year 1619, the Anglican bishop and theologian Lancelot Andrews observed how this day, Ash Wednesday, falls as the natural world is turning. Darkness is turning into light. We see that each morning and increasingly in the late afternoon. The death and the dormancy of winter is turning to the rebirth and the new life of spring. And so it is that we too are called in this season to turn. Andrews said, and I quote, "Then, because this day is known as the first day of Lent, it fits well as a welcome into this time, a time lent us, as it were, by God, set us by the Church, in which to make our turning. Repentance itself is nothing else but a kind of circling to turn to the one by repentance from whom, by sin, we have turned away." Unquote. Turning to God in this season of Lent begins by acknowledging our mortality, by acknowledging our complete and total reliance on God. And the ashes we wear this night are a symbol of that mortality. They are imposed with the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." We come before God, the one who is eternal, and we remember that we are mortal, that we are creatures made by God, created in God's image and likeness, but we are not God. We do not live forever. We come from dust, and at some point we return to dust. I was thinking earlier today how often on this night, as I think about the meaning of Ash Wednesday, I regularly observe how our culture avoids being honest about our mortality. But I wonder if it's actually different this year. I wonder if we actually can't deny our mortality. The signs of human frailty, I think, have never been more obvious, at least in my life. As we enter this third year of the pandemic, we are well aware of our vulnerability. 6 million people have died worldwide in this pandemic. That's difficult to ignore. It makes us realize how precious and short life is. And then in recent days, as war descends upon Europe, something unimaginable just a short time ago, we are reminded of how precarious life and even the future can be, how the unthinkable and the horrific can come to pass. As we watch in horror the death of innocent civilians, 500,000 refugees fleeing an advancing army set on destruction, it is impossible, I think, to ignore the precarious frailty of human life. And so it is, I think, somehow different, at least for me this year, when, as followers of Jesus, we are marked with ashes and called to remember our mortality. It touches a newly awakened vulnerability, a new awareness of our mortality. And it can be an urgent call to remember that we are not God and that we profoundly need God. Through baptism, we are marked as Christ's own forever, baptized into the death of Jesus and into his resurrection. And through Christ, we are set free from sin and death, from the temptations and the lies of the world. Though we will one day die, yet we can be assured that we are safe in God for eternity. And so as we begin our Lenten journey this night, we assert our need for God. We are mortal. We have strayed. It is time for us to turn to God. And tonight, we are offered the gift of this season, a time to heed God's call to return, to reorient ourselves, to put right relationships with God and with one another, to put God as the priority and center of our lives. Now, I may sound glib in saying all this, it's a tall order, and it'd be reasonable to ask, how do we possibly do this? And my first answer is only by God's grace. Only with the power of the Holy Spirit leading and sustaining us. And then I would say there are some practices that we can undertake, and there are three mentioned in our gospel tonight. And there are three practices central not only to our Lenten journey, but to the whole of our Christian life. And the first is giving alms. It's caring for those who do not have enough by sharing from what we have. The heart of almsgiving is caring for our neighbor. And it's rooted in the reality that all that we have been given is a gift of God. And from what we have been so generously given, we are then to give a portion away. This practice can obviously help transform the inequities of our world, but it also changes us. In giving away what we have, we are able to trust that God will provide what we need in the future. Giving alms is the antithesis of hoarding, of keeping tight to ourselves. It's about thinking outward and looking to others and letting go of any fear there may not be enough. In the gospel, we are also called to pray. Just as Jesus did, we are to be faithful in regular prayer, to set aside time to come into God's presence. And we can do this with words, either our own or composed prayers. The Book of Common Prayer is full of wonderful prayers. Or we can do so in simple silence, listening for God's word to come to us as we dwell quietly in God's presence. And a piece of this call to prayer is also to encounter God in Holy Scripture, to read and study God's word. Prayer and study of Scripture provides a solid foundation for our Lenten journey and for the whole of our lives as followers of Jesus. And then finally, Jesus mentions fasting. And this might be one of the challenging pieces for us. Many of us who are middle class have an abundance of food available, both in and out of season. Fasting in this land of plenty, I don't think is that popular. Yet to give up what we want, to resist our desires and our cravings, shows the power that these have over us. It highlights how easily we might give in to our impulses. Fasting for a time might transform how we live, may stir in us a deeper reliance and trust on God, an awareness of our own frailty, of our need for God. In all these, as we heard in our gospel, Jesus calls us to do these privately, not for show, not for the approval of others, but to do them for the transformation of our lives, for the deepening of our relationship with God. For this is the path to transform our hearts, to acknowledge our need for God, and our need for turning, for conversion. These disciplines ultimately are about choosing what matters, what leads us closer to God. And as Jesus tells us, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so this night, I invite you in the name of the church to keep a holy Lent, to accept the ashes on your forehead as a symbol of your repentance and your penitence, of your mortality and your need for God. May the ashes be an outward mark of an inner turning toward God, a statement of trust in God's loving mercy and compassion, in God's desire to forgive us, and of God's rejoicing when we return. This night, may we make a good beginning of Lent. Walking these 40 days, may we come to a joyous Easter, to the foretaste and the promise of life eternal with God. And through our Lenten journey, may we be drawn deeper into the heart of God, into the divine life of the Trinity. And finally, and I didn't know exactly where in the liturgy to say this, I want to say just a word about our liturgy tonight. And in particular, as you will see moving forward, there are several points that the Book of Common Prayer instructs us to kneel. And when we are up in the church, we have knelt. But we're not. And you don't have kneelers. There's no convenient way to kneel. And so please do not feel you must kneel. Assume a posture that's comfortable, be that standing or sitting. But the prayer book stands with the word kneel in it. So do what makes sense for you, please. And the other thing is, regarding the imposition of ashes, you're all invited to receive ashes, but you're also free to decline. As we move through this time of pandemic, I think it's important we each decide what we're comfortable doing. So at the appropriate time, I will come out with the ashes. I will offer them to each of you. You do not have to take them. And of course, I will keep my mask on. So just please somehow communicate to me what you would like to do when I get to you. And finally, I'll just say, though this night is yet still different from what we might want it to be, I am grateful that we are able to keep it in person, unlike last year. And my hope and prayer for you is that it's a meaningful and rich experience, and a right and good beginning of Lent.